Let's talk about a subject that is, well, I don't know if it is, but it should be part of every personal ministry. Because one thing, one good question to ask ourselves as ministers in whatever capacity we find ourselves in the kingdom of God is, what exactly do people need? People come to our church, people come to our small groups, people meet us on the job. We know people and we want to minister to people. We want to share what God has graced us with. We want to see them to find their place in the kingdom and find eternal happiness in the kingdom of God. So what exactly do people need from us? Well, one thing is, obviously, they need an opportunity to know. They need to know God. They need an opportunity to know and find God. They need a family of like believers. They need communion. They need community. They need training towards maturity. They need training towards personal body ministry. People need opportunities to grow through experience and to find their place in ministry. They need an opportunity to grow in grace by the will of God. But there's another thing that they need, and what they need is they need a mentor. They need mentoring. I want to share with you some points here, and I'm going to go through them. They're numbered points, and I'm going to share with you these bullet points on mentoring. And I believe this strongly. I believe that everybody deserves a mentor. Everybody deserves someone who can help steer them in the right direction and be there by their side to help them with counsel and advice, encouragement, with prayer, bearing their burdens when necessary. Everybody deserves to be mentored. And I think everybody has an obligation to look for mentoring opportunities. Who can we mentor? Mentoring, you know, the definition concludes steering, guiding, and advising people towards enablement through positive and experienced counsel. I think what we've got to consider it is that it's also recognizing the potential and present strengths in the one being mentored, the mentee. Someone that is properly mentored stands a much better chance of becoming a mentor himself. And what I call that is the beginning of a chain of influence. It all begins with a good mentor. There's a very good chance, and it's the will of God, that a good mentor in my life will produce, have such an effect on me spiritually that I in turn become a mentor in a good fashion to somebody else. Having worked in Africa with my wife for more than 30 years, we saw this as a crucial part of the African heritage. African culture for hundreds and hundreds of years demanded a very strong mentoring process within tribes and within families of the tribes. Men, for example, we find that men have lost their place in a large part of African society due to the effects of colonialization, where African families were torn apart. Demands were made on African men to produce in the fields or in the plantations or in the forest or in whatever way the colonial power demanded that they produce for their new colonial masters. They were separated from their families. Families lost fathers. Families lost brothers. Children grew up with only a mother. And it's been a hard process for the African community to be able to restore that kind of male pride where the man knew where he was. He knew where he was in society, and he was able to protect his family and provide for them. He was the warrior of the house. He was the provider of the house. He was the hunter. He was the gatherer. He was the power that kept it all together. So once lost, this chain of influence, I mean, this heritage that's passed on from generation to generation, once that's lost, it's very hard but very necessary to refind. I mean, look at the heritage that was established in the Bible, examples like Elijah to Elisha, like Barnabas to Saul, like Paul with Timothy. Mentors, good mentors that passed values and helped their mentee to become what God wanted them to be. There's a very emasculating spirit of the world right now that seems to be depriving men of their male role and their male identity. It's not the will of God. Nothing could be further from the will of God. And if this same kind of spirit is passed on generation to generation, things will continue to get worse and not better. But people in the kingdom, people in God's church, deserve to be mentored positively. And they're obligated to seek out mentors. When we fail to recognize our potential mentors and thereby fail to learn from them and by them, we once again break this chain of positive influence and we start a new chain of negative influence. Families that are torn apart by this or by that sometimes produce children that have marriage relationships that are torn apart by the same things, and the chain goes on and on until somebody helps somebody to break the chain and start a new positive chain of influence. That's what mentors stand for, and that's what they do. Let's look at a passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 31 and read a scripture. It's verse number 23. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 23. Let's start with verse number 22. Moses therefore wrote the song, kind of concluding verses before, the same day, and he taught it to the children of Israel. And verse 23, he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and have a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them. And then Moses said this curious thing, and I will be with thee. Moses to Joshua, I will be with thee when you lead them into the land that I promised them. And yet Moses maybe had an inkling and a clue that he wouldn't be there. And indeed he would not be there. But the spirit of the mentoring Moses would be there with Joshua. And Joshua will never forget that. Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Start with verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The same way that God moved in Moses, he was now going to move in Joshua. And Moses had already told him in Deuteronomy, I'll be with you when you go. When you lead them in, I'll be with you. Even though I'll be dead and gone and departed from this earthly life, I'll still be there. How? By the mentoring, by the positive chain of influence that I've put in you. But interestingly enough, after the direct influence of the great leader Joshua ceased, the positive cycle since the days of Moses stopped, and Israel fell away from its God. They lived in deliverance and victory only when individual judges stood up and fought as true men of God should. Something about mentoring that Joshua received, and yet Joshua was not able to pass on. There's a very sad story of a man in Judges chapter number 4. Starting with verse number 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. This is after Joshua has died. Verse number 2. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She was the judge. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to hear for judgment. And she sent and she called Barak, the son of Abinoam of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. That was the advice, the counsel from Deborah as the oracle of God. But here's what the man responds, the man chosen. And Barak said unto her, If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. And here's what Deborah says. And she said, I will surely go with you. I will. I'll go with you. Notwithstanding, the journey that you take shall not be for your honor. Because the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So here's a man who had a promise from God. Do this, I'll give you victory. It's time for you to step up into leadership. You've heard the counsel of God. You're ready in all points from God's perspective. You're ready to become the deliverer. But he would only do it if she would go with him as some kind of divine protection. Sad that he didn't have a proper male mentor to guide him in his maturity. The real story that led Israel to that place in Judges 4, however, is found in Judges chapter number 2, starting with verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And verse number 10, And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which, amazingly, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Where were the mentors? What happened, Joshua? Moses showed you the way to walk, and you tried your best, I'm sure, but there were just not enough mentors in the land, and the positive chain of influence was broken. Verse number 18, And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge, because it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. Up and down, back and forth, rising and falling. No steady chain of influence to take them forward. No mentors in the land that were effective. Where were the mentors? We need vigilance in body ministry with regard to mentoring opportunities. We need to see this. We need to see mentoring opportunities. Leaving a training session last night from the church, I was walking out the door and was greeted by a few people, got a few hugs, give a few hugs in return. Good to see them. Good to be seen by them. And I turned to a brother and I said, you know what? People just want to be loved. They just want to be loved. They want someone to stand by their side. They want a mentor. They want somebody that can help them through what they face. They want somebody who has faced the same kind of things. Amazing, isn't it, how you begin to talk to people and the Lord begins to minister through you, in you, and through you to them. You begin to share. You begin to listen. They find out that you're a genuine listener and they can actually open up their heart. This is one of the elements of your small groups. People sharing their needs and are responding to them, bearing one another's burdens. We need vigilance in body ministry with regard to mentoring opportunities. And we must seek out spiritual mentors ourselves and surround ourselves with spiritual wisdom as much as we can. Knowledge and understanding has to be actively sought for and then cherished once found and then shared with others. So let me finish this short lesson by asking these four questions. What will succeed us in our ministry? What's going to follow us? What mentoring have we done that guarantees anything after our ministry ends? What will the next generation of leaders pursue, and what will they find ultimately? What lasting legacy will prevail? And finally, what chain of influence will hold fast the future revival? We sing songs about breaking every chain, and the power of God can break every chain, and the name of Jesus can break every chain. But there's a chain of positive influence that is brought about by pure spiritual mentoring that can't be replaced. We need that chain that binds us together. We all need mentors, and we all should be looking for mentoring opportunities with other brothers and sisters in the body. Let your small group be a place of mentoring like never before. Praise God.